We're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and if you're just tuning in, today's show is going to be about kind of getting the investment mindset. We talked about that when we came out of the break, as well as we're going to get into the retirement planning, and I've got really about three shows on retirement planning to help you kind of understand, you know, all your options on retirement. We're going to go through those things, and then we're also going to go through you know, what you should be doing with your retirement plans. And then lastly, I've got, you know, some really good just kind of cleanups, and we will have completed an entire series from A to Z financial. And with that, what we're going to do is continue on digging into that. But I want to give you just a little, you know, a corona recovery kind of mindset. On March 11th and 12th, we had a 2020, we had a 15% drop. On the 23rd, we had another drop. And by the 23rd, we were down 30%. And but by March 11th, this last year or this current year, we were up 79%. The first year following the five biggest bear markets historically over the last 90 years has averaged 71%. So nothing was different, you know. So guess what? The pandemic was to investing, and just another thing that happens that causes people to get a little uncomfortable, and then they make the wrong choices. And so if you are not working with someone, you know, I always tell people that, you know, like right now the market's up, everybody's, I mean, it's booming. So when you have an up market, you don't need any help, because all you got to do is just be invested. But in a down market, that's when you need advice. And so today, you know, we are going to be talking about, you know, we're in an up market. So what do you do when you're in an up market? Well, when you're in an up market, you continue to stick and stay to the course. If you're out there and you've got lump sums right now, I have been dollar cost averaging people in. So if somebody comes to me with a bank and they say, I got $300,000 in the bank, I don't throw it in right now at the top of the market. I tend to be dollar cost averaging. And when we talk about that, I always meet with people, and my advisors meet with people, and we try to figure out your risk tolerance and your capacity that you're going to need to take in order to be able to reach your goals. But the bottom line is this: the long-term mindset is you put it in there, you diversify it, you leave it alone. I always recommend you get a coach, all right, a financial coach. That's what I do. And that coach will give you information that will make you confident, not make you all-knowing. That's not your job. You have a job doing what you're doing. I mean, I play golf with a couple of doctors, and, you know, they are doctors. And I hope they spend their time being doctors, because if I go in there and they're a surgeon, I would rather them be an expert in surgery than an expert on money, because if they're an expert on money, chances are they may be taking time away from doing their core. And so if you're out there right now, what you should be thinking about is building your team of advisors, and those advisors can have everything to do from health to money to, you know, taxes to legal, all those kind of things. I've tried to do that, and I've always tried to find someone that knew more about things than I did about that subject. And I'm very coachable, all right? And being coachable meaning that I don't question someone that has proven that they know what they're doing. And so that's why you got to interview people. If you like the person and you trust the person and they bring you good knowledge, chances are you're going to be doing better with your money than doing it by yourself. And so let's get back in. We're going to continue on. So the first thing of business always is, if you want to get financially independent, you want to move forward, you've got to always focus on two things. And the first one is always raising your income. You need to find something that you love to do and then become great at it. Make sure whatever it is you love to do actually has a market for it, so therefore you can earn money. And, you know, one of the things I've always told people with them, you know, if you have a job somewhere and you're working somewhere, first thing I would do is have my goals based on where I want to be financially. All right, I want to live this way. I want to live in this type of house, drive this kind of car, do this with my kids, my family, charities, all these kind of things. And you come up with a number that is going to allow you to do that, an income number. So you say, well, I need to make, in order to do that, I need to make $120,000 a year to be able to do what I want to do. And then also you want to make sure that in built into that is about 20 or 25% if you're really being smart with your money that you're saving. So now you say, how does that work? Well, if you make 120, then you're going to save 30, you're going to pay taxes of 30, you've got about 50% left over. Usually you can go in and take your income, divide it into, you know, basically 25, 25, and 50, meaning 25 to savings, 25 to your taxes, and 20, and the rest of it goes to your living expenses and stuff like that. And, you know, you put your giving in there, whatever you build into your system there. And then you back it out. You say, well, I don't want to live on $5,000 a month. I want to live on $8,000 a month. Well, then you'd say, well, I need 16. Well, now I need to make 200,000. Well, now I make 200. I'm going to take about 25 to taxes. I'm going to take 25 to savings. And then we're going to take and live on the rest of it. And so we do that. So the first thing, order of business, is always find determine your income that it needs for you to do it, and then figure out a way to get there. If you're working for a company, you say to yourself, hey, what's the highest paid person around here at this company? And if it's not at least way more than what your goal is, and chances are that it's not a big enough place for you, you may need to be looking elsewhere. That's the way you go about doing things. Just basic logic, math, and, you know, maybe you need to start a side business, whatever it may be. So now that we have a plan to raise our income, the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we spend less than we make, and we stay on that budget. We say, well, we're going to throw 25% to taxes. That's our take home. We got 75% to live on. We're going to take 25%, automate it, and put it into an investment account on a regular basis, take advantage of all the tax deductible items, you know, 401ks, IRAs, SEPs, whatever it may be if you're self-employed. We're going to do that. We're going to then live on the rest of it. We're going to stay out of debt. We're only going to have good debt, not bad debt. Good debt is something you can afford, along with the fact that it's tied to an appreciating asset. You basically get free money right now in the as far as I always look at it that way. The mortgage rates are so low. So, you know, good debt is, you know, have a mortgage payment. Don't be paying your house off. That is right now one of the worst decisions. And the worst advice you can ever get is to pay your home off when you can borrow money at the lowest interest rates ever been in the history of the world, okay? So don't allow, you know, that type of mindset to be in. Debt is not bad. Debt is only bad when it's bad debt, all right? And bad debt is you can't afford it, and it's high interest. It's tied to a depreciating asset. But if you can go out there and get something, you know, I just saw, we just did a refi for one of my clients at 2.6%. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, 2.6% is, like I said, it's like free money. And so you want to think about that. Then we're going to automate our FIN, and our FIN number is the amount of money you need to be able to save in order to reach your goals, to where you never run out of money, and to where money becomes fun. It's no longer, you know, a problem that you're worried about. So a classic saying in personal finance is called pay yourself first. Before your paycheck hits your bank account, you should set up a plan to put some of the money into retirement savings. You can't spend it if you've already saved it. Think about that. So if you put it aside, it's in the retirement account, it's gone, you forget about it, there you go. Best way to do this is automatically enroll into your employer's plans if you work for a company that has, say, a 401k or a 403b, whatever it may be. And depending on the rules, you'll be able to save a percentage of your salary, and you'll probably get a matching, all right? And I'm going to talk about matching money and all that kind of stuff. Now, if your company doesn't offer that, you can still do it. You can save in an IRA, or if you're self-employed, you can do what's called a SEP account and set things up like that. So you want to make it automatic no matter what you do, and that's going to put you in a position to get started. Hey, I changed my life when I set up my IRA account with a bank draft. It was $50 a month 35 years ago, actually closer to 36 years ago. Was the first time I understood the power of automatic savings and long-term savings and investing and stuff like that. So if you don't have an IRA right now and you want to get moving forward, go to roymatlockjr.com and click Find an Advisor. We'll connect you up and get you started on a path to have automatic savings. We'll be right back. talking about money and retirement.